Good morning and welcome to our service today on this, the fourth Sunday in Advent. Christmas is almost here. I'm sure you're getting very excited about that. This morning, with it being the fourth Sunday, we're going to be celebrating and focusing in on the joy that Christ brings at Christmas. And looking forward to that. Before we get into that, though, I would like to give you a little bit of information about the services that are coming up over the next week or so, just so that you're aware. Obviously, on Friday, we're going to have our Christmas Day service. Very excited about that. It'll be a short reflection and we'll be offering some prayers. Obviously, we'll be lighting the Christ candle in our wreath. And we'll also be including the Christmas messages that you have been sending in. If you remember, what we wanted to do was to have messages from all the people that are watching our services online, whether you're part of Addleston Baptist Church or not. Be lovely to hear from you on Christmas Day. You know, as we've been doing these online services, I'm very conscious that we've created a sort of a fellowship that's beyond just Addleston Baptist Church. And I know that, you know, a lot of us, we haven't met each other or anything like that, but I just thought it would be great to have that sort of community expression. We are a large church, it's spread geographically, but all sharing on this journey together. So if you can you send me a little clip of yourself just saying, "Hi, I'm so-and-so from wherever you happen to be, wishing everyone a Merry Christmas." And we'll put all those clips together and be able to watch those on Christmas morning. So that'll be great. I really need those clips as soon as possible, probably by tomorrow lunchtime at the latest. So if you can get them to me today or tomorrow lunchtime, that's Monday lunchtime, that will be fantastic, and I'll be able to put those together in time for the Christmas Day service. So following Christmas Day, obviously in 2 days beyond that, the 27th is a Sunday, and I'll be giving a short reflection on that day as well. And it's just an opportunity perhaps to take some time out of the busyness of Christmas, just to spend some time thinking about God and worshipping him. So there'll be a short service on the 27th. And then moving forward into 2021, the 3rd of January is our first Sunday of the month. Jackie will be bringing us the message on that day. And of course, we'll be sharing communion together. It's always a great way to start the new year, by sharing communion together in that way. So that's what's coming up. Remember, get those video clips in for Christmas Day. That would be great. You can email them to me, and that's how the services will unfold over the next few days. So today we are focusing on joy. We'll be lighting the fourth candle in just a moment. There really is only one song that we can sing at the beginning of our joyful service, and that is, of course, "Joy to the World." Let's sing together.
Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat.
Amen. Well, I'd like to read a few verses from Psalm 118, starting at verse 19. It says this: "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And so we come to light the fourth candle of Advent, the candle that represents joy. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that at this time of year we are reminded of the joy of the Lord. We're reminded that in your coming to us, we can know hope, peace, love, and joy. And as we study your word together today, we pray, Lord, that we would hear your message of joy to us, and that our spirits, indeed our very lives, would be transformed by your joy. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, a little bit later on, we're going to be sharing the South Runnymede Church's Christmas reflection for this year. So Addlestone Baptist Church is part of a wider cluster of churches within the town of Addlestone, a little bit further afield. And we've got together as churches, as ministers, and also as fellowships to come up with a Christmas reflection. And this is going to be shared today throughout the churches. And it's a real message for Christmas. So we're going to be sharing that a little bit later on. But before we do that, I'd like to reflect on this message of joy. And I'm going to focus in on a passage that, funnily enough, in the last couple of Sundays we've looked at. And it is this moment where the angel visits the shepherds and announces the good news of Jesus. It's found in Luke chapter 2, starting from verse 8. And it says this: "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.'" I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people. I love that message from the angel. You know, it would be very easy for the angel to have simply said, "I bring you news of joy for people." But he doesn't. He adds in all these superlatives that just expand out this message, the significance of this event. He says, "I bring you good news." And if you know your Bibles, you'll know that whenever the Bible uses the word good, it's so much more than we normally use in our English language. When we talk about things being good, we're usually talking about things being kind of slightly above average. It's good, but it's not the best. It's kind of midway between average and the very best. But that's not the understanding that the Bible has, that God, when God uses the word good, He's talking about perfection. He's talking about things cannot get any better. And so when you read the creation narratives in Genesis 1, and God makes the heavens and the earth and light and dark and all the world around us, every time he makes an element of the universe, he says, "This is good." In other words, this is perfect. And when he's made all of creation, he says, "This is very good. This is perfection in its completeness." So when the angel says that this is good news, he's not talking about this is good news if you want to share it. He's talking about this is the best news you're ever going to hear. So I bring you good news of what? Of joy? No, of great joy. I mean, joy itself is a very encompassing thing, isn't it? But this is not just any old joy. This is great joy. This is magnificent joy. And who is this joy for? Is it for people? Is it for some people? Is it for the people in the local area? No, this is for all people. All people will be blessed by this good news. Isn't that wonderful? And it kind of got me thinking, well, what does that mean for this good news of great joy to be for all people? Does everyone get to experience that then? Well, as I thought more about joy and its place in life, I sort of realised that joy in this life is so often accompanied by a downside. That joy and sadness often are two sides of the same coin. Just a really trivial example. As many of you know, I am an Arsenal fan. And if you're into football, you'll know that to be an Arsenal fan at the moment is to commit yourself to a life of misery. Arsenal Football Club are not providing much joy at the moment. We're having a really awful season and it just seems to be getting worse and worse. So at the moment, I am anything but joyful when it comes to football. But those of you out there who are Tottenham fans at the moment are experiencing tremendous joy. Not only are you top of the table, but you're also witnessing the demise of your greatest enemy. And this is particularly poignant in our household at the moment because one of my sons, mentioning no names, one of my sons happens to be a Tottenham fan. I don't know how this happened. I pray about it daily, but such is life. So for one of us in the household, life is joyful. For me, not so much. One person's joy is another person's misery and vice versa. Now, okay, that's a very trivial example, but you think about this in the context of other joyful moments in life. When a couple gets married, for instance, it is a day of joy for the couple, for their family. But I can pretty much guarantee that somewhere, someone in the congregation who happens to be single probably has their hearts touched by the event. And as they celebrate in the joy of a couple's union, they're reminded of their own loneliness and singleness. And that can be tough. Similarly, when a couple announces they're pregnant and they're going to have a child, it's wonderful. It's a great, joyous moment, absolutely. And we can all share in that joyous moment. But for some people, that may just remind them of their barrenness, of their inability to have children, and the pain that accompanies that. So often when joy is experienced, there is a flip side to that. And yet, when the angel announces here that this good news of great joy is for all people, that's a pretty encompassing thing, isn't it? How is it that all people can share in this? Do all people share in the joy that's being proclaimed? Well, the biblical witness shows that not everyone does participate in that joy. Herod being a classic example of that. For Herod, the announcement of Jesus, the King of Kings, well, that makes him anxious, worried. It fills his heart with violent hatred. It's a threat to him. So he doesn't seem to participate in this joy. And yet the angel says this is joy for all people. And I guess this is where joy can be joy for all people, but there is an onus on us to embrace that joy. For Herod, he wasn't prepared to accept Jesus for who he is. And because of that, he isolated himself. He took himself out of that opportunity to experience joy. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus does bring joy if we open our hearts to him. My friends, there is not a situation on earth that isn't radically transformed by the good news of Jesus. Where the good news of Jesus is accepted, every situation is changed and transformed. No matter how dire, no matter how desolate those situations are. You know, there's a reason why we celebrate joy as the fourth Sunday in Advent. I think it's because it encapsulates the three previous Sundays in itself. You know, first Sunday was all about hope. Then the second Sunday was all about peace. And then the third Sunday was all about love. And you bring all those together and you get joy. Because that's what Jesus brings. So in the midst of a hopeless situation, Jesus brings hope. In the midst of difficult and trying situations, Jesus brings peace. In the midst of broken situations, Jesus brings love. In the midst of every situation, Jesus brings joy. You know, as I look back over this last year with all the trials and struggles that we've experienced, how much better has it been knowing that Jesus is in it with us? Alongside us. It's that disciples in the boat in the midst of a storm moment, isn't it? And yes, when the disciples were in the midst of that storm, they were panicking. Jesus, if you remember, was sitting at the end of the boat sleeping. And when they roused him, what did Jesus say? He said, "You have little faith." Essentially, he was saying, "I'm with you." So even in the midst of this massive storm, when you fear for your very lives, I am with you. And when I am with you, the situation is transformed. And that's faith. Faith is knowing that Jesus is in the boat with us. And that brings hope, that brings peace, and that brings love. There may be times where the storm is raging and we're in the boat and it feels like Jesus is still asleep, but he's still in the boat. He's still there with us. And that offer of Jesus being present through his Holy Spirit is available to all people. No one is excluded. That's why this good news of great joy is for all people, because no one is excluded. Which means even the most hardened atheist, even those who are most opposed to God, can still be reached by the power and the authority and the might and the love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus. That, my friends, is a joyful message. And that's a message that we need to be sharing. We need to be joining with the angel and declaring this same message. I speak it over you today. I bring you good news. I bring you good news of great joy that is for you this morning, that whatever you face, whatever your life is like, your life can be infinitely better with the presence of Jesus. And you can know joy in a way that you've never known before. Don't be Herod. Don't turn your back on Jesus. Instead, invite him in and let him be all that he promises to be. Let him show you that he is good news of great joy. We have a wonderful, transforming message to share this Christmas. It's a message that people desperately need to hear in this year, 2020, more than any other. It's the message that has been proclaimed for the last 2,000 years. Good news of great joy for all the people. A Saviour has come. Doesn't that fill you with good news, with joy? I hope it does. Well, we're going to respond. I'm going to play you a song now by Geraldine Lattie. You may know her as, and her husband, Carey. And it's a wonderful song that focuses in, a wonderful carol that focuses in on the angels' declaration of good news. And after that song, we're going to move into our South Runnymede Church's Christmas Reflection 2020.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch the harps of gold. Through all the earth, goodwill and peace from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. With sorrow brought by sin and strife, the world has suffered long, and since the angels sang have passed 2,000 years of wrong, the nation still at war hear not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, cease the strife, to hear the angels sing. Mm-hmm. And those whose journey now is hard, whose hope is burning low, who tread the rocky paths of life with painful steps and slow, oh, listen to the news of love which makes the heavens ring.
It's 2020, and Christmas is upon us. Decorations have been dug out of the loft. Lights have gone up.
and the tree is bejeweled in a riot of colour. Everything twinkles and sparkles, a celebration of this special time of the year. But this is 2020. This is no ordinary year. Somehow this year has lost some of its colour, some of its sparkle. The coronavirus has changed the world we live in. We no longer see each other's faces and see each other smile. Our lives and our futures have all been affected. Queues and social distancing have become the norm. Our airports have shut down. Businesses and livelihoods brought to a standstill. And at times our towns and cities have fallen silent. We still have big questions to answer and challenges lie ahead. There are divisions to overcome and hurts to heal. And national and international struggles and uncertainty still exist. There have been positives, moments of hope. Things we can be grateful for and things to have pride in. But as 2020 draws to a close, we're left asking, where is our hope? Where do we go from here? Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made.
In him was life, and the life was the light of all people.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world.
He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him.
He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him.
Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God.
And the Word became flesh and lived amongst us.
We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son,
who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
So perhaps 2020's Christmas is less about the sparkle and glitter and more about the real meaning of Christmas. The story of a God who made his dwelling among broken humanity, among us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now that's something to really celebrate.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
And so, as Runnymede Churches, as one church, as his church, we have a hope to declare, a saviour to worship, and a story to be sung about.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that message. As I say, that reflection has gone out to all the churches in the local area. And, it's a message of hope in the midst of difficulty, of peace in the midst of trial, of love in the midst of hardship, and ultimately a message of joy that Jesus is still relevant, that Jesus is still present, that Jesus is still bringing transformation. And I hope you experience that in your life today. Well, let's take a moment to pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the message the angel proclaimed 2,000 years ago. We thank you that that same message, the message of good news, of great joy for all the people, is still being proclaimed today. That for 2,000 years, the church has proclaimed that message to creation. And I pray, Lord, that every single situation that we face, whether they be difficult, hard situations, or situations that feel like they'll never change, I pray that every situation that we face would have the transforming touch of the King of Kings. Make your presence known to us, Lord, in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And may we all experience your joy, great joy, this Christmas time. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And why don't we pray the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so let's close our service by singing, How Great is Our God.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great, how great is our God. And time is in
Amen. Praise God. Well, just one final reminder to send in those video messages for Christmas Day. You've got about, let's say, 24 hours from now to get those in to me. So just send them by email and we'll get them all put together for that service. Yeah, have a wonderful Christmas Day, and may God bless you at this time. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace and joy this Christmas. God bless you.